authenticity. If you have a Bible, open up with me to 1 Peter 4:8. We're just going to dive straight into the scripture. There's plenty of it this morning, so get ready. I am pumped. I'm happy that Ron went away. It's all good. 1 Peter 4:8 to 11. Above all, it says, love each other deeply because love covers over a multitude of sins. That's a very famous verse. Offer hospitality to one another without grumbling. Well, each of you should use whatever gift you have received to serve others. Settle down, God. As faithful stewards of God's grace in its various forms, if anyone speaks, they should do so as one who speaks the very words of God. Well, crazy stuff. If anyone serves, they should do so with the strength God provides, so that in all things God may be praised through Jesus Christ. To him be the glory and the power forever and ever. Amen. Isn't that a great scripture? Isn't that incredible? A life that's authentic, a life that's real, a life that's reliable. I want to speak about that this morning. You know, there have been many people in my life that I've looked up to as a growing, maturing Christian. Pastor Ron is one of those people. And, you know, as a young lad, I really came to know God when I was 15 or 16, gave my life to him. Some of you have already heard this story before, but I came towards God just crying. I didn't understand anything. And just the Holy Spirit just hit my heart and I just began to cry. And I just knew for once and for all, God is real and I want him. And from that point on, I've just looked at a great hero in faith to me, which is Pastor Ron. And looked at how he lived his life, how he spoke to others, how he treated others, how he led his church, how he led his family. I said, I want that. That's authentic. I want that type of authenticity. You know, when I, a few years back now, I was worship leader here. Some of you may remember that. And you're thankful that I'm not anymore. But I'm getting back into it, so sucked in. it was great to see my brother worshiping. I think that's one of the greatest things I see on a Sunday. I see my brother up there, he's giving it his all. But I think about when I was worship leading, and Stuart Harriet used to let worship lead, and I always used to look after him. You know, we don't get too many, well, back then didn't get too many middle-aged men up on stage singing, but still don't. If you can hold a tune, or maybe not even, just, you know, sign up. Luke's down the front, he wants people. But I used to really look up to Stuart and just go, well, you know, when I worship lead, I want to worship lead like that, where it's no longer about the song that's playing or the words I have to sing, but it's about connecting with God. Which really led me in terms of my worship leading. And so thanks very much for that, Stuart. You're a great man of God. And another person, obviously my dad, you know, I have the chance to work with my dad day in, day out now and get to know him. I don't know if he's here. I can't see his face, so he's obviously not here. Where is he? Oh, you know why, Dad? Because you shaved your head to, like, what is that? Like, it's not even a number. you're as bald as my father-in-law, Clinton. That's all right. You're matching up now. It's all good. And I get this awesome chance to work with my dad and hear the stories that other guys speak of dad, and they're always saying how good he is, how much that every single time he speaks, like, they value him, they value his opinion, and I get to work with that type of authenticity, and it's crazy to know that I'm his son, and I get to watch dad over the years how he's had his ups and downs, but really is loving God and going hard for him, wanting to get out on the missions field. And I get to watch that, and that's authentic. I want that in my life. Do you know people like that in your life? That it's not like you want to be them, but you look up to what they're doing. And you go, man, if I could have some of that, that'd be great. It's attractive. Authenticity is always attractive. And Peter here is saying to the church, in the end, you serve others well. Do all that. When you speak, let it be the very words of God. But in the end, it all comes down to, if you want to be authentic, love. He's saying to the church, love people. Love from a pure heart. He's saying, be real with people when you serve them. Be real when you speak to them. What you say actually matters, believe it or not. What you say matters to somebody. Be real with your words. Be real with your thoughts. Be real with your actions. And the outcome of that is love. The outcome of authenticity, being authentic, being reliable, being real, being sincere is always love. And what are we called first to do? Love. We're called to love God, love others. Love. And I'm speaking to myself this morning. This is really a word for me. You know, I've been journaling for the last couple of months, actually. And God has just been really talking about be authentic, be real in everything you do. Just be reliable, be there, be trustworthy, serve. It's talking about build your character. Get real. You know, I'm nearly 30 now, God forbid. And I've nearly reached old age. I thought you guys would enjoy that. but I'm constantly thinking through, you know, if I don't build this into my life now, when will I? If I don't become authentic now, when will I become authentic? And what gets me most is Christians, I'm not speaking to you, I'm just in general, okay, so don't take offense, is Christians that have passed a certain point in their age and they've been in church all their lives, but they're not authentic. They're not real. They give the persona, but inside it's different. And I don't want to be one of those people that gets to 50 or 60 years old and I show all the Christian things, and I say all the Christian things, but inside I'm not. Inside I don't trust in God. I don't want to be like that. I want to be authentic. Thanks, Heather. I want to be authentic. Do you guys want to be authentic? It's great, you know. I think when we're talking about love and love being a byproduct of authenticity, I think sincerity plays a lot in our relationships day in, day out. You know, isn't that true? You can tell a person is being insincere and you can tell a person is being sincere. It's very obvious. And it's funny how when we're insincere, we think that we're fooling the person, that we're trying to make them believe that we're sincere, but that person knows exactly that. Anyway, I won't confuse your heads any longer. they know that they're being insincere. You know, talk to many people over my life, and you're talking to them, and they're saying all the right things, they're doing all the right things, but you're thinking, man, there's something behind this. There's something behind this. You know, I had obviously I led a church for a bit. And if you want to nut out sincerity and all that type of thing, I've got heaps of examples. Myself and Lisa once sat down with this girl. I'll be very careful. Sat down with this girl once, and she was saying all the right things to our face, saying how much she loved the church, really believed in it, believed in us, and all that type of thing. But, you know, inside you could really sense that there's something else going on here. And we knew it was there, both Lisa and I knew it was there. And we just kept going. She was saying all the right things. She left the meeting, and she said all the right things. But we left going, man, there's something behind this. And about a month later, we found out that she was getting a group of other people from our church together and just bad-mouthing us and our leadership and bad-mouthing the church. And then we had to do the old sit down and say, get lost. No, we did nicely, but we had to really challenge her and say, look, it's not working out. Please, like, we love you. Maybe another church might be able to bless you and do it better. But while we're sitting there, it's just you can see insincerity a long way away. And insincerity over time will hurt others and will hurt you. And insincere people, if you're writing down something, I think insincere people, their words are completely empty. They won't do what they say they're going to do. They won't. They'll say all the right things. They'll say, yep, I'll do that. Yeah, no, I'll be done, but done. They'll never do it. Their words are empty. They're self-motivating. You know, you can't love from a place of self-interest. It just doesn't work. You can't love others. You can't love the church from a place of self-interest. And insincere people are always self-motivating. They're thinking of if I say this, then I'm going to get this. Or if I do this, then this is what's going to happen. Or you know what I'm talking about. It's self-motivating. Number three, they have a guilty conscience. And, I was listening to a Brian Houston podcast. I'm getting old. I can't even say podcast. What? Internet? What? just about don't carry around a guilty conscience with you. Make sure that you're completely right all the time. And I kind of find it interesting. He said all the time. Make sure you're right all the time. Like, how do you make sure you're right all the time? He's just like, well, that's what God offers, isn't he? He comes into your life and says, hey, I can sort you out straight away, any moment of any day. Just bring it to me, give it to me. And I think insincere people, that they're carrying around a guilty conscience. They don't, they let the sun go down. The Bible says, don't let the sun go down your anger, which is a good marriage tip. Make sure you deal with your stuff. But also, don't let the sun go down on your hurts and your bitterness and the things that you've done wrong. Don't let the sun go down. That deal with that stuff today. Deal with that stuff. And we're talking about being sincere. Insincere people, they don't deal with their stuff today. They're hiding it behind a wall of whatever. And again, I'm not talking to you. I'm talking to me. Make sure that, you know, don't be challenged. Just take it in. Insincere people, I like that. And Romans 12:9 says, love must be sincere. Hate what is evil, cling to what is good. Love has to be sincere. Philippians 1:9-10. I'll slow down for those that are writing. Well, I agree with Ron, by the way. I agree that, like, having, I do my sermon thing on the phone, and I agree that that is a longer method than actually writing it down. Lisa's all her heart, like, completely finished, and I'm still going, and Ron's up to the next point. But Philippians 1:9-10. So this is my prayer, that your love will flourish and that you will not only love much, but well. Well, learn to love appropriately. You need to use your head and test your feelings so that your love is sincere and intelligent, not sentimental gush. Not sentimental gush. You know, love isn't just the things that you see in movies. It's, oh, blah, 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 blah. I hate that stuff. That's why I don't watch chick flicks. It's just sentimental gush, right? Okay? Love isn't like that. Love is actual respect for people, treating people well, speaking well to them, lifting them up. That's real love, not this. You do that with your wife, nobody else, all right? Sentimental gush. Live a lover's life, circumspect and exemplary. A life Jesus will be proud of, bountiful in fruits from the soul. Wow, who wants that type of life? Who wants that type of life? You know, I think about Shell Harbour, Ado, and I'm just thinking, mate, you're authentic in every way, you know what I mean? And you get that. It says here that there's going to be bountiful fruits. And man cry. All right, making Jesus Christ attractive to all, getting everyone involved in the glory. I use man cry way too much. I'm actually crying. I'm a man, all right? So I am crying. I'm getting everyone involved in the glory and praise of God. It's saying just be the real deal. There's not enough of the real deal today. There's not enough of the real deal in the world, and there's definitely not enough of the real deal in the church. And I'm looking at many people that are the real deal here this morning. So there's not enough of you. Be the real deal. Be sincere. Love properly. Not sentimental garbage. Actual love. Be real. And if you can leave this place this morning with anything else, just leave it. Be real. You know, I look at the next generation and I've had the privilege of sitting down with Andrew, and I just asked him the question, you know, the youth got revamped last year sometime, right? And they lost a lot of kids and all that type of thing, and now they're 15, 20 or something, yeah. And people might look at that and go, well, it's failing. But I sat down with Andrew and he just goes, no, look, I mean, you can put on a show and you can get as many people there, but if no one's really connecting with God, then what good is it? And so now they've got a group of 10 or more kids and they're loving God and they're getting connected and they're hearing the word. Mate, you have 5 kids doing that, you're still successful. You know what I mean? It's being real. It's being real. It's not just putting on a show anymore. It's actually going back to what God calls us to be, which is real. To love, to preach the word, to be attractive. When we're attractive, when we're sincere, when we're authentic, guess what? God gets the glory. Isn't that right? God gets the glory. There's always something attractive about a person that's authentic, that's real. You know, their words actually mean something. You know, you ever been in a few business meetings in my life, Usually it's the guy sitting down in the corner going, oh my gosh, what's going on? And I've been in a few, but there's always this one guy that's over the top and, you know, just throwing in their ideas and getting in there. And there's, you know, there's always a few people that you know, have, when they can get a word in, they throw something in. But then there's usually always this one person that says something and people actually stop and listen. There's usually one or two people that when they say something, it actually matters. And people go, wow, yeah, that's right, I agree with this bloke. I agree with this woman. That's right. And you know, there's too few of those type of people where when they say something, people stop and listen. And God is calling us to be just that. He's calling us to be the people that when we say something, people stop and listen. When we do something, people stop and see. And it brings the glory to God. And sincere people, you know, their words actually mean something. They're not self-motivated. You know, sports teams are a good example some sports teams are a good example of a group of people that are just in it for the team. And when you get one person, they're all for the glory, then usually that team's no good. But when you get a group of people together, I'm just want to preach faith over City Life FC right now. A bunch of people, a bunch of young men, some are getting older, young men playing soccer as a team, completely about the collective whole, doing it for everybody, then it's going to succeed. But if one person out of that decides, I want to get the glory, I want to be striker, pansies, just glory hogs, right? Am I right? I'm right. I don't watch my soccer, but I know that they're glory hogs. I wish there was no strikers. But anyway, I used to be a goalie when I was younger. My team lost every week. So I wonder why. It was 20-1 and one was on the odd day. What am I talking about? All right. They're not self-motivated. You know, I think about family life and how if one person, whether it be the husband or the wife, starts thinking that it's about all about them and them getting their way, that family's doomed from the get-go. But a family is meant to be collective. We think about the collective whole. What's good not just for me, but what's good for my family. And we get that going, then that's authentic and that's a great environment for what we're reading before in terms of getting fruits and having a great marriage and having building great kids. And yeah, all right, good. Everybody's good? Not self-motivated. They come from a clear conscience. Again, it's that thing about if you want to be sincere, let's just deal with the stuff today. Let's get it out. Let's just do it now. Right now in your seat, if you're holding something, two seconds time, I want you to be completely free of it. 1, 2. Okay, good. We're all good? That's how quick it is. You can have a clear conscience. It's sincere. That there's forgiveness, there's grace, there's mercy from God. Why would you not want that? Why would you want to live a life that where you're so bound up and you're so bound up not by what others have done, but just by what you're carrying around with you? Yeah. Yeah. Thanks again. Real rude. I don't know when I'm finishing, but anyway, we'll get there. I was just thinking about, I'm thinking about Joe now, and I know Joe Zohar has copped a lot of flack over the last few weeks. A lot, and it's been fair. But I just want to do something that totally just, you know, Joe loves his jokes, right? Don't ask him for one because they're horrible, but he loves them. And I'm meant to be building this man up, not pulling him down. Anyway, can I just do a Joe joke? Because I forgot to do it earlier. You know, it's like, what is Woolworths called when it burns down? Coles. Again. Funny, right? It's hilarious. Oh, Joe thinks it's funny. That was completely off topic. But anyway, getting back, all right. Sincere people. Their words mean something. They're not self-motivated. They have a clear conscience. And this is where love comes from, sincerity. Love is sincere. You know, we're looking at the real root of authenticity. 1 Corinthians 13, 13. Faith, hope, and love. If you want to be authentic, faith, a dependence on God is necessary, yeah? I'm being real. I'm being authentic. Hope, a zeal for living based on an unwavering hope in God. Three, love for people. Show grace, show mercy. If you want to be authentic, faith, hope, and love. You came to school today. Faith, hope, and love. Isn't that so easy? A real dependence on God, not one that's up and down, but one that says, God, take my all. Lord, be everything, Lord God, in my life. I'm depending on you, Lord, for my finances, for my family, for my own sanity sometimes. I'm depending on you, Lord. A real dependence. A real dependence. Hope. Just hoping in God. You know, regardless of what you face in life, I'm sure there's 100 people that face more than that, that face a lot worse than what we face. But sometimes our stuff gets in the way of seeing other people. But no matter what we face, let's just have a hope in God. I think the world needs more positive people, yeah? We need to be more positive than what we are. I think even sometimes, not this church body, but a collective church, sometimes we're really negative about the world and which leads to a negativity about people that we meet and relationships with other people. But man, we just need to get ourselves all worked out. We need to live life that is positive, that's built on a hope, that regardless of what we go through, someone can look at us and go, well, he's gone through that, but he's standing strong. What's all that about? Man, you know, his kids are a little bit messed up, but in that, he's still finding joy. He's still able to trust in God. He's going to church. He's speaking well still. He's still building others up. Is that good? Hope. Let's just get back to the basics. Dependence on God. I'm speaking to myself as well. Hear me out. I am speaking to myself. A dependence on God, day in, day out. A hope in God. That no matter what happens in my life, I'm going to trust in Him, and I'm going to go through my head held high. And sometimes it's going to be tough, yes, but when people talk to me, I'm going to be positive about it. I'm going to say, yeah, you know, it's horrible right now, but God is going to get me through. Together, we're forming a partnership here, and I'm going to make it through. Love for people. Show grace, show mercy where you can. It's a real root of authenticity. 1 Corinthians 13:13. It's a good, attractive authenticity. Yeah, I really believe that you know, I've grown up in this church basically, and I love Ron and Heather, and I love their kids, and we're friends, and I look at their lives and I'm like, man, you know what, I want to be a pastor. I'm throwing that out there. I want to be a pastor one day proper, I'll go for a PMC, probationary ministerial counseling, but I want to be a real one. But like, I want to be a pastor like that loves people, that's compassionate, but also has a real high, well, obviously you have to have a high dependence on God and a hope in Him. And I want a family that's exactly the same. Just love God, doing things are strong. They're talking positive. I want my boy to grow up talking positive. And I want him to be around really solid, strong men and women where he can look up to and go, I want that one day. I want that. Authentic people. You know, we've got a lot of authentic people in here. And I'm so proud that I've been able to grow up in this church and watch a lot of people, either my age or younger or older, and just watch them be authentic. Because it inspires me. It draws me closer to God. It draws me closer to Jesus. And that's the real reason why we are real. That's if you're anything but real, You won't draw others to God. You can say all the right words, you can pray all the right prayers, but you won't show others that there is a God that loves them, that there is a hope for them, that there is a future ahead that God's planned out. You won't be able to show them that because you're not sincere and you're not authentic. But if you're exactly the opposite, well, the Bible says that we're a city on a hill, that we're salt of the earth, that we're the light that can't be hidden. I want that. I want to be that authentic. That we shine so brightly, and metaphorically, you know, I don't want to actually shine, but we shine so brightly that people have to wake up and say, "Wow, they're Christians. It's something," and they bring the glory to God. It's got to be the fact that they have a relationship with God. That's the only way I can explain it. I want to be real. I want to be real. Do you want to be real? I want to be real. I want to be real. I don't want to have two different personalities playing out. I want to be what God called me to be, which is authentic, which is me. You know, you may think, whenever you say me, and you're talking to yourself, not just me, but if you say me to yourself, and you're thinking about all the things that you could have done, all the things that you've messed up on, all the ways that you've somehow managed to get into trouble, all that type of thing, you're thinking me. Guess what? That me that you're thinking of is not the real you. That's the fake you. That's the persona of you. But God is calling you to be authentic. The real you is none of those things. The real you is powerful. The real you is positive. The real you is incredible. The real you is filled with forgiveness, is filled with mercy, is filled with grace. That's the real you. And we hide it sometimes behind things. And we forget that we're not well, God's called us to be perfect, yeah? We can be perfect right now because we believe in a God that forgives all sins, all things. He's what makes us perfect. If we weren't perfect, we could never approach God, yeah? That's what Jesus came for, right? See, let us have a good relationship, working relationship with God. The real you is perfect. The real you is amazing. The real you is sincere. The real you is real. It's real. Real. You are real. Authentic people are consistent. They're consistent. They show up. Their emotions are consistent. Let me read Revelations 3:15. Revelations 3:15 says, Revelations, it's a funny book. Right, it's a funny book, right? You read just like, it says, "I know your deeds." This is God. "I know your deeds, that you are neither cold nor hot." And we've heard this before. "Neither cold nor hot. I wish you were one or the other." He's saying, be authentic. Be real. If you're not going to be real, then just be cold. Just get out right now. It's plain and simple. Be real. You know what? I am sick and tired of people being... And in my own life, I'm sick and tired of being controlled by my emotions. I'm up and down, and you know, one day I'm up, and for a couple of weeks I'm up, and then sometimes I'm back down because something's happened. But God says, "No, I want you to be hot. I want you to be up all the time." I'm not talking about up, and you know, when you know, we can't laugh away some of our troubles, right? I'm not talking about that. That's stupid. But we can be positive in that situation. God's saying, "I don't want your emotions to control you. I want me to have a say in your life. I want to be the deciding force in your life. I want to be that." How we treat others, be consistent with how you treat others. My gosh. Relationships are like, we have tons of relationships in our life, all different types. And God is saying across all the spectrum of relationships you have, treat others the same. Treat others well. Give them respect. Give them the time of day. Talk to them well. You know what? I don't always get this right either. And sometimes I have my moments where we all have our moments, right, where we've just blasted out and we hurt somebody else because of what we've said. And this is where forgiveness comes in. But God is saying here, please, just be hot. Just treat others well with respect. With respect. In our giving, you know, I think about finances. Yeah, okay, they're a massive part of our life. Money is a massive part of our lives, right? It is true. It's not necessarily a good part, but it is a big part of our lives. And, you know, I was thinking, I think one of the greatest things that really got me giving and tithing on a regular basis, besides my wife doing just automatic transfer and not me not having to think about it now, but before I married her, she's a soul saver. Before I got married, you know what? The thing that really inspired me to give was watching men older than me give. without even thinking. And they just come week in and week out. Back then we didn't have all the electronic giving and stuff, so people actually had to bring their slips in and put it in on that day. And, I was really inspired like that. They've got it. That's consistency. You know, they didn't have to wait to be inspired to give. You know what I mean? Like, pastoring a church is a funny thing because you learn about finances pretty quickly and why people give and all that. And you know what? Most of the time, there's a small percentage in the church that want to give, but are just waiting for them to be inspired to give. So, like, you have to come up here and you've got to think of, like, the most amazing offering message just to get, you know what I mean? I'm just being honest. Like, you think of the most, I want to inspire, because I don't have to inspire people that already do it, that love God, that are giving. I encourage them. They're amazing. But I'm thinking, man, we're not going to survive another week unless I give an inspiring offering message. And so we go up and go to God's place, and then they give because something touched their heart or whatever. But whatever happened there. Where am I going with this? Someone tell me. But I was thinking, you know, I don't want to have to wait to be inspired. I want to give and then inspire others. I want to be the inspirational force. I want to inspire others to give. And the only way I can inspire others to give is to be authentic about my giving and come week in, week out, get online, just give almost without even thinking. But giving not because I have to give, but because I love God. And it's one of His commands that I bring my tithe into His house. And when I bring my tithe, He says that He's going to bless it. And I don't even care if the blessing comes back on my family. I don't even care about that. I care that God is somehow going to use this to bless either something that He's doing or someone or something is going to happen. Don't wait to be inspired. Inspire someone else. You know, I was having, Paul says, be an example in 1 Timothy 4:12. Be an example. Let the next generation see. And this is why I love youth ministry. Youth ministry is great. You have an incredible opportunity to be an example to others, to set the bar, to inspire others. And Paul here is saying, just be that, just be an example. You know, be consistent in things that you do. Don't let your emotions control you. Don't let it be up and down all the time. Be consistent all the way across. And you're thinking, how do I do that? You know, I'm depressed. Well, look, okay, there's medication. Yes, please take some medication. But there's God. Make sure. Come on, right? Some people need medication. I'm not, like, honestly, there's an imbalance there. They need to. Anyway, but also let God come in. Let God take control. You know, one day you might even come off the medication because you're going so well with God. I might have insulted some people. I'm going to be quiet now. But I'm just going to sit over there and say, why did I say that? But just be consistent in everything you do. I was having lunch with a few mates from work and a few tradies, and we're sitting down, and if you've read my Facebook, you would have already heard this story. But we're just sitting down for lunch, and this I imagine this attractive woman goes by, and this one tradie next to me goes, "Wow, did you see her, mate? She was smoking hot." Paraphrased, all right, he was being pretty crude. But she was mad. I said, no, I didn't. She'd eat my lunch for her. I didn't see her. And this other guy on the other side said, no, he's exactly like his dad. I love this. He's exactly like his dad. He doesn't notice things like that. He only has eyes for his wife. What? Brownie points. Yes. How cool. How great is that? My wife nearly high-fived me, and she was incredibly ecstatic that happened. And I just, that's it. That's it. Be consistent. People are always watching how you live. People always, you know, if I'd gone even for 1 second, it would have all been over. I don't do that, by the way. That's sleazy and horrible. But honestly, we've got to set the bar. It's sincere. It's real. It's authentic. You know, I give all props to my dad there. He brought us up well. And that was just, as soon as he said he's just like his dad, I went, yeah, good. My dad's a great guy. just consistent. Number two, I'm going to run out of time. Number two, convicted. 1 Thessalonians 1:4-6 says, "For we know, brothers and sisters, loved by God, that he has chosen you. Because our gospel came to you not simply with words, but also with power, with the Holy Spirit and deep conviction. You know how we lived among you for your sake. You became imitators of us. You watched what we did. You're inspired by us and of the Lord. For you welcome the message in the midst of severe suffering with the joy given by the Holy Spirit." That's authentic. they were positive in the face of, it says here, in severe suffering. But I don't want to talk about that. I want to say an authentic people, they're convicted. There's a deep conviction. Deep conviction always encourages imitation, right? It's at the core of who we are. People follow someone that has a vision, that deeply convicted by it, that want it. People follow that type of person. I want to be the type of person that lives out my deep conviction according to the Word of God. You know, I may not get it all right all the time, but I'm working towards it. I want to be someone that can stand and lead people, not having to go, come follow me, but lead from a place of that they're so looking at the authenticity of our lives and so looking at how real we are that they want it as well and they'll follow. I want my son to see, and he may see me sometimes. I'm over here with my boy, and we just have a great time when the worship starts. And we're just clapping, and we're like, yeah, yeah. I want him to get it early. I want him to get that stuff where he's so excited. He loves the music, and he loves being at church. He's the best jumper in the world. He comes, and he just goes psycho. I love that. But more than that, I don't want him to just see my actions. When he grows, I want to see it, let him see how I live and how I love and how I look after him. And I want it to come when he knows God. I want him to say, I want to imitate my dad. The way he lived is the way I want to live. The way Jesus lived is the way I want to live. The way Jesus lived is the way I want to live. Oh man, imitate Christ. Imitate him. Get his words in your heart. The Bible isn't a hard thing. The Bible is so simple to read. Just don't go to Revelations. But the Bible is so simple to read. It's God. It's Jesus just being real. I want to be authentic. Authentic people are consistent. They're convicted. They're convinced that what God says that he will do. They're convinced. It's deep. It's in there. And finally, three. Authentic people are compassionate. Compassionate. 1 Peter 3:8 says, "Finally, all of you be like-minded, be sympathetic, love one another, and be compassionate and humble." As many scriptures, Jesus was constantly moved with compassion. His Matthew 9:36, he had compassion on them because they were harassed and helpless like sheep without a shepherd. Matthew 14:14, he had compassion on them and healed the sick. Mark 8:2, "I have compassion for these people," blah, blah, blah. The Greek word for compassion, I'm going to spell it out to you because I can't say it and someone throw it back out to me. S-P-L-A-G, write it down, S-S-P-L-A-G, C-N-I-Z, not Z, O-M-A-I. Someone say that word to me? No, splug-a-blah-blah. You know what the Greek word for compassion there means? It means to be moved as to one's bowels. It sounds awful. Let me go. Hence, to be moved with compassion. And the reason why it says to be moved as to one's bowels is not because we all need to use the toilet, but for the bowels were thought to be the seat of love and pity. Be compassionate. Love, love is sincere, right? Love is authentic. Love is real. And if you're going to be real with people, you have to have compassion on them. You have to love them. And you can't love them unless you're sincere. And you can't love them unless you have faith, a dependence on God, a hope in him, and love, believe it or not. It's good, right? Don't dismiss people. You know what? Ron called myself and one of my best mates, Colin, the hardest challenges he's ever seen, challenging people. And I'm not hard with people. But in my life group, I expect my guys to be real, to be authentic, to be real. And if out of that is one part of my role as a life group leader and all your other life group leaders, the part of your role is to build people, to really empower them, to help them overcome and all that. So we sometimes have to be very real with people about where they're at and what they need to do to get past it. And it's not about, and the last resort is always like, look, you're not moving anywhere. That's always the last resort. But, you know, we can't just be like angry or bitter or just wanting that person out. But God is saying here, be compassionate, be real and feel for them and help 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 them. And if they won't change, the Bible says very clearly, then have nothing to do with them in terms of leading them. You know, authentic people are consistent, they're convicted, they're compassionate, they love people, they feel for people, they help people, they want to see people empowered, they want to see people grow. I want to see that. We're all too old, I think. We're all getting too old just to mess around. Yeah? We're all just getting too old to mess around. Either live hot or live cold. Don't sit in the middle. I can tell you, God's just looking for authentic men and women to rise up. The next generation's looking for authentic men and women to rise up. Be the real deal. Let's pray. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, God. Lord, I thank you for this morning. And Lord, I know that you're challenging me to be real, to be authentic, and to draw that out of a deep conviction and a real heart and a hunger for you, and to live life in a way that brings you honor and brings you glory, that other people can see what we do and want to imitate it, Lord. A good life. Father, I know that you're speaking to people here and you're speaking to me. We all want to be authentic. We all want to be real. We want it so desperately, God, so madly. We just want to be not the us we think we are, but the what you see, God, is what we want to be. And Lord, right now for men and women across this room, Lord, I pray that, Lord, you'd put in their heart almost an urgency, Lord, to deal with the stuff, to get rid of what's underneath and just come out firing, guns blazing, authentic, real, solid, reliable, sincere, loving, incredible, passionate people, Lord God, for you. We ask that, Lord. We thank you, God. You know, I just want to give you an opportunity to respond to the message today. And if you feel like that's exactly, you've just been hit by a bullet, not because of my words, but because of what God has been talking to you about this morning, and you're desperately wanting to be sincere, you're desperately wanting to be authentic, you're desperately wanting to be someone that others can imitate because your life is so real, then I just want you to raise your hand right now because I'm just going to pray with you. If that's what you want today, I want to pray specifically for you to be authentic, to be filled with the Holy Spirit. Thank you, God. Oh, Lord Jesus, Lord, I pray you fill us with your Holy Spirit. The Word says that your Holy Spirit is our God, that will lead us right, and Lord, where we can rely on Him when we have to make decisions. And right now, Lord God, I pray, Father, for those that really are hungry for, really desiring, that you've been speaking to them this morning about being real, being authentic, Lord God, that there'd be almost just a massive hunger for it, Lord, that they'd go home today, that find a place with you, that they get real with you, and their lives would change as a result of Thank you, God. You know, just before we finish up, I also want to give an opportunity for those that maybe you don't know Christ yet, or you don't know Jesus yet, sorry. Or maybe you've been far from Him, but you want to come back this morning. And if that's you, I just want you to pray a simple prayer. We're all just going to pray out loud. I want you to pray it with me. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you for dying for me on the cross. Thank you for your forgiveness which sets me free. Teach me how to live in your ways. Come into my life. Amen. Thanks, guys.